Let me put your name down here, Rhonda. I want your name here too. We're going to be praying for you this way. This is why I say it's important. I think the more people praying, the better. And when Kent's got an important job, when he puts this out on this widespread thing, you got a whole church praying for you all week, and it didn't end there. So get it on paper. Somehow, some way, get it on paper and put it in this basket. All right? All right, we're still in Daniel. You're learning some. He's all right. Just sounds like a Georgia fan. Go Dogs. All right. I'm sorry. I had to do that. I wouldn't count my chickens before they hatched, amen? Yeah, we'll see who's wearing orange and who's wearing, what's that color y'all wear? Auburn. All right. I better not count mine either. All right. We've been studying lessons from Daniel, starting from about the age of 5. And we're going to spend the next couple of weeks on this particular lesson, on getting an education. And hopefully, we're going to continue learning the rest of our life, because that's what we're going to be talking about, is education. Because education is a good thing. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about it, where Jesus said, love God with all our minds. So it's important. And he wants us to love God with all our minds by using it, by developing it, by not wasting it, by educating it. Proverbs 19:8 says, do yourself a favor and learn all you can. Then remember what you learn and you will prosper. You'll prosper. You know, it's not an accident that in almost every country in the world, the first school and the first hospital were started by Christians. They were started, you know, by the church. That's why you see St. Joseph, St. Mary's, you know, the hospitals and all that. But Christians believe in the body and the mind and the soul. But my prayer today and my hope today that your education doesn't end with school. It just doesn't end there. And if you're successful, you're going to be learning the rest of your life. You're going to be learning the rest of your life. Proverbs 24:5, I've skipped one. It says, wisdom brings strength and knowledge gives power. The Bible was the first one to say that knowledge is power. So if you want to be strong and if you want to be powerful, you got to learn as much as you can. Now later on, I'm going to talk about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Both are important, but they are different. And the Bible says that getting an education is a good investment of your time. Getting an education is a good investment of your life. It's a good investment of your money. But the Bible also says you need to be careful about your education. You need to guard it, and you need to do it with the right stuff. You need to learn the right stuff. Proverbs 4:13 says, always remember what you've learned. Your education is your life, so guard it well. And I want to ask you, students, and I hope we all are students, but, you know, I'm probably going to be talking to a lot of high school students and college students today, but also parents as well and grandparents, because you have kids there. And so my question is, are you guarding your education? You might say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's what we're going to talk about this Sunday and next Sunday. His parents, relatives, are you helping them? Are you helping? You remember last week or last 4 weeks, we talked about how God tests you before you're ever blessed, that your test. Well, these 9 common tests in Daniel's life is something we're all going to face. And God's going to test us before we get any blessings. Remember, we've already talked about 2 tests. We looked at the first 2 weeks of this series, major change. And then the second 2 weeks, we looked at peer pressure. And this week, Daniel's still a teenager. We're still looking at him as a teenager. Remember, he was took captive at 15 years old. and indoctrinated in a kind of a camp, a brainwashing camp for 3 years. And this test was going to be a challenge to his faith. And so we're going to look at that. Remember, Daniel was captured by Babylonian Empire. He went through the three-year indoctrination. And so Daniel's third test is a challenge to his faith. Daniel 1:4-5 says this: King Nebuchadnezzar commanded, "Select young men and make sure they're well-versed in every branch of learning. Teach these young men all the language and literature of the Babylonians. They're to be trained for 3 years. Then some will serve the king after they graduate." Daniel and his three friends and a bunch of others, I can just picture them, because it feels good to be accepted into a program that's under the king, don't it? I mean, so there's this mixture of excitement and fear, I'm sure, for Daniel and his buddies, because he only picked the best. And everybody wants to be included, don't they? Everybody wants to be, you know, accepted into a group of elite students, and that's what they were. And so there's this thing where, hey, man, I made it. I'm smart enough. I'm good looking enough. I'm healthy enough. And you know, I'm in. But then there's this fear, because we all know everything that sounds great ain't always great. Everything that glitters ain't always gold. Because what they were going to be taught were a lot of courses that were just anti-God. Because Babylonians were all about myth. They were all about fortune telling and magic. The Babylonians during this time were incredibly superstitious. And they know they're going to have to learn a lot of stuff that they don't agree with. They know that they're going to have to learn a lot of stuff that they don't believe in. Amen? Just like a lot of kids coming out of high school today, or going into high school even now. But God had prepared them. Look at Daniel 1:17. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for learning the literature and science of that time. I'm going to tell you something. God is never going to ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the ability to do. He's not going to put anything on you that he's not going to give you and help you bear it up. These guys had already passed two real important tests of major change and peer pressure. And so God's going to give them an even bigger test. He says, can you study in a pagan school without losing your faith? And if you pass this, you're going to get promoted again. You're going to get promoted again. What's a pagan school system? Well, they had multiple gods during this time. Babylonians. The Babylonians had multiple gods that they believed in, and a lot of it had to do with the stars and the moons. The Babylonians were the first. This is just, I'm going to give you some, what you might think is useless, but some stuff that I've enjoyed learning this week. The Babylonians were the first to discover Jupiter. Did y'all know that? They did it without a telescope. Because what they really liked was the different colors of the stars and stuff. But I need to tell you this. They didn't do it for astronomy. They did it for astrology. See, the Babylonians, they invented the zodiac. That's where that came from. So they believed in many, many kinds of God. And they believed that those gods spoke by omens and things like that. But, zodiac, however you say that, it's just fake. Astrology is just a fake religion. And that's what they've done. Now, this is what Daniel and his buddies was going to learn. I'm going to give you something else that the Babylonians invented. Look at your wrist. Those of you guys got a watch on? Came from the Babylonians. The 60-second thing, 60-minute thing in an hour, that came from Babylonians because they thought 60 was a magic number. Did y'all know that? The whole circle thing, the 360 degrees, carpenters use a lot, 360 degrees. Babylonians, 60, it breaks up in increments of 60. It came from Babylonia. Did y'all know that? You're smarter today because of me. But no, it was just something I found out was interesting, that Isn't that neat? And that we still have leftovers in this time from ancient Babylonia. Isn't that nice? Now, you're not going to use that won't buy you a cup of coffee, but anyway. When the 3-year training was completed, the chief official brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with each of them, and none impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they were appointed to his regular staff as advisors in all matters requiring wisdom and balanced judgment. The king found the advice of these young men to be 10 times better than that of all the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. They were promoted. They went through a pagan school system, held their faith, and were still promoted. Isn't that something? How do you do that? How do you excel in your education, in a pagan world education, and not lose your faith? How do you do that? Whether today you're here, you're a student or not, it's important that you need to know. I want to tell you something. Your education is only as good as the content that you learn. If you're only learning fake and phony, untrue stuff, it's not going to help you. Did you guys know this? In 1962 and 1963, the Supreme Court took the Bible out of school. Until that time, the Bible had been the primary text in public education. It's what made our country great. It's just what it is. And you may not know this, but every one of the Ivy League schools, with the exception of one, Cornell, was founded by pastors in order to teach other pastors. Did y'all know that? Harvard, Yale, all of that. They were founded by Christians to teach other Christians, to train them. Did y'all know that? That's something else. Thank you, Jim. Bam! Because I just learned it this week, too. But so the Supreme Court, hundreds of years from then, decided that it was best to take the Bible out of school. Thank you, Supreme Court. But they decided it was best. Well, the problem was they didn't just take out Christianity. They replaced it with secular humanism, which is another religion. Now, they'll tell you that it's not, but it is. It's just a religion without God. That's all it is. The founder of modern education was John Dewey. And he called humanism a common faith. It was even called a religion in 1933 when he and a bunch of his buddies wrote up this manifesto. It was named and annotated as a common faith and religion. So if you grew up in the public schools like I did over in Rockmart, I know not all of you went to Rockmart, but some of you went to public schools, wherever you're at. Sometimes your faith was belittled. Some of you guys have already graduated college. Sometimes your stance was kind of laughed at. You know, wherever your faith was giggled at. There goes another goody two-shoes. You know, there goes another believer. You know, your values, your ethics, you know. And today, it's increased even more. It's really increased even more. They're even making movies about it. And so we know it's increasing anymore. And I know, guys, I know there's some professors and I know there's some bosses that are very intimidating when they try to make you doubt your faith. I know there is. But I want to give you a couple of reality checks before we get started. The reality is this. The number of atheists that are in the world is minuscule. And most of them are in Europe or in the University of the United States. Very minuscule. And Encyclopedia Britannica says of the world population, only 2% are atheist. 2%. 2%. And guess what? This is going to be neat. It was very good for me to hear. Since the year 2000, the number of atheists actually shrunk. Shrunk. That means got smaller. Here's the second thing. The world is getting more religious, not less. And I don't like the word religion either, but I'm going to use it today for what I'm trying to talk about here. But the world's getting more religious and not less. The future of the world is not secularism. Let me give you something here. In the world, there's 15 million Jews from Israel to the United States and a little bit of Europe. There's 600 Buddhists. There's 800 million Hindus. 1.5 billion Muslims. There's 2.3 billion Christians in the world as of today. One out of every three people on the planet is a Christian. Guys, the world's becoming more religious, not secular. It's getting there. Islam and Christianity are the two fastest growing religions in the world. Islam by birth, Christianity by conversion. Fastest growing religions in the world. And since the universities, especially ours, are the seedbed for unbelief, how do you excel in your education and not lose your faith? Because you're going to learn a lot of good stuff in school, but not all is true. Do you get me? I remember in my short-lived time in college, I remember one professor said, "There is no absolute truth." I thought to myself, "You're an idiot. You just stated an absolute." Y'all know what I'm saying? I got news for you. Truth is truth. And it will always be the truth. It will always be the truth. I mean, there's stuff that's true and there's just stuff that's untrue. There's stuff that's right and there's stuff that's wrong. And it will always be right. And it will always be wrong. And how do you excel in this? Number one, real quick. We're just now getting into it. Number one, we in the meat now. We got to decide in advance to stand for God. Before we go, before we leave for our school in the morning, before we leave for our marketplace, before we leave for our university, when our feet hit the ground, we got to say, today we decide in advance to stand for God. Because the time to choose your loyalty is before the test. Not during it, because if you try to choose your loyalty during the test, then your fear and emotions and everything is going to kick in. You know, you got to do it before it happens, before you go back to school, before you go to work, before you go to the university. Because let me tell you something, you're going to have a test, you can count on it. Before you get on Facebook, you're going to have a test. Somebody's going to be trolling. Especially with this election year. Somebody's going to be trolling. And they're going to see if you're going to buy to get in with this conversation. But I'm going to tell you something. Write this down. 2 Timothy 2:13. Just write it down. I don't want you to go to it right now. This is about having tests. Here's what I want to tell you. After you read that, I want to let you know something. If you're not suffering any persecution in your life, then you're not living a godly life. It's what this is saying. If you're not suffering any persecution, then you're just not living a godly life. You're living a life that people don't even know you're a Christian. You're like a chameleon. You act with whatever way with whoever you're with. Y'all know what I'm saying? We ought to be different. We ought to stick out. But what? We just blend right in to whatever house or party we walk into. We ought to be different. We ought to be different. So parents, we need to prepare our kids for this as a test. Because I'm going to tell you what, it ain't history, it ain't algebra. Your faith is the most important test that you'll ever take. You'll ever take. And you can either choose not to defend it and just draw back, which is the wrong thing to do, and just not let life affect your faith. Or you can just compartmentalize and do what I'm talking about. Oh, I can be a Christian here at North Point, and when I talk to the folks at North Point, and when I come to the ladies' ministry, or when I come to the Forge, I can act this way. But when I'm at work, I'm different. Or when I'm at a party, I'm different. Well, God don't like that. He said, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Talked to a man one time, said, Jim, you wouldn't like, went to church with you. You wouldn't like me at work. I said, why? He said, I'm different at work. Really? How? He said, well, I'm rough on them boys. You know what that is? That's a lack of integrity.
Amen.
That's a lack of integrity. And so don't compartmentalize your life either. God doesn't want that. But your decision should be, you can be determined to thrive. Daniel did. He thrived. He prepared. He made a commitment to protect his mind, and he excelled. Daniel 1:8 says this, Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself. He's not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm going to be different. I'm not going to partake. I don't care if the whole world is doing it. I don't care if one is just enough. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. I'm not going to defile myself. You got to make a commitment. Guys, you got to make a commitment to protect your mind, your body, and your heart. You understand? It takes before you go. Before you go to that job, before you go to that school, how do you excel? Proverbs 1:7 says this. This is how you excel. You start with God. You start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Guys, you start with God. If you skip this, then you're a fool. If you skip this, you are a fool. You know, when we stand before God, he ain't going to ask, how was your penmanship? Thank goodness. I wish y'all could. This is sometimes why I stumble. I can't read my own word. He's not going to say, Jim, your penmanship stunk. You know what he's going to say? Jim, did you know me? He's going to say, did you know me? Did you love me? Did you love other people? Did you know me? Proverbs 15:33 on the backside of the outline says, reverence for the Lord is an education in itself. You know why? Because God invented everything. He created, he thought it all up. Remember, history is his story. Proverbs 2:6-7 says, all wisdom comes from the Lord, and so do common sense and understanding. God gives helpful advice to everyone who obeys him and protects all of those who live as they should. Guys, common sense. All wisdom comes from the Lord. I have seen some educated idiots in my time. I have read about them. I have read from them on Facebook in the last couple of days. You know, they got some big words. They got some real nice words. I had to look them up. And you know what I found out? They're still an idiot. You know why? Because their wisdom is not coming from the Lord. They got lots of knowledge, but they got no understanding from the Lord. They got no common sense and understanding. I'm not going to name them. They're easy to spot. The Bible says sometimes we open our mouth. What does it say? Something like, if you close your mouth, the world will wonder if you're a fool. But if you open it, you'll leave no doubt. Number two. I like that too. Never stop learning. Never stop learning. I think we ought to have a plaque up for the leaders of North Point Church. Have it on the walls. It says, all leaders are learners. That's why Paxton's so big on discipleship. All leaders are learners. Guys, you can't be a leader if you're not a learner. And the moment you stop learning, you stop leading. Growing businesses require growing businessmen and women. Growing organizations require growing leaders. And the moment you stop growing is the moment your organization stops growing. Or the moment you stop learning is the moment your business stops growing. Because once you stop learning, you start dying. You start dying. So I want to ask you, what's the new skill that you're going to learn in 2016 to this time next year? And I'm talking about intentionally, not one that you just happen upon. I happen upon a bunch of them every day. A bunch of them. But what are you going to learn intentionally? Let me give you an example that you might could pick. Proverbs 18:15. Wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights. I want you to draw a line between learning and listening, because there's a connection here. Let me tell you something. You're never learning while you're talking. Woo! Right now, I ain't learning a thing. I'm talking. But what I'm hoping to do is that you're learning by listening. If you're listening, you might be learning. One of the most important skills that you could learn in this next year is the skill of listening. Amen? And I know some of you guys some of you spouses punched the other spouse. Y'all hear that? You talking, you ain't learning. And that's the truth. If you're talking, you're not learning. The better listener you are, the better learner you'll be. 2 Timothy 2:15. Where am I at here? Where's it at? Oh, it's on the... Well, I ain't got another page. I see it. Study to show... This is a wanna. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that isn't ashamed. A workman that isn't ashamed. Study. He said, that's how you do it. Be a student. This is what Paxton and Fred and David and myself push and Missy and everybody that's involved in ministry here is that God wants you to be a disciple. Sheila wants you to be a student, a learner. And you got to read to do that. Some of you guys ain't cracked a book since high school. And it shows, amen? You better get a book and read it. It shows, I'm telling you. Proverbs 19:8 says this, those who get wisdom do themselves a favor, and those who love learning will succeed. You do yourself a favor the more you learn. And I want you to succeed. And those that get wisdom are going to succeed. Now, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom, and it's important for you and me to know the difference. Both are essential to success, but very, very different. Knowledge is this: information gained from education or experience. That's what knowledge is. Got to have that. Here's what wisdom is. Fill in your blank here. Seeing and responding from God's viewpoint. Seeing and responding from God's viewpoint. We got to see relationships from God's viewpoint and respond to them from God's viewpoint. It's a whole different from the world's viewpoint relationships. Finances. The world has a whole different way to look at finances. God has a viewpoint. That's where wisdom comes in. I'll give you an example of that. The world says, just refinance your home and borrow on your home. You can get a tax break on that. God says, become debt free. A career. Look at your career through God's viewpoint. Wisdom comes from God. Some people are knowledgeable, but they're not wise. And guess what? Relationships fall apart. Their careers fall apart. Their finances fall apart. Number three, I'm finishing up. And I use this word intentionally. Steep myself in God's word. Steep myself in God's word. How many know what steep mean? Amen. Y'all was smarter than I was this week. Steep, you know what you steep a tea bag. Did y'all know that? You dunk it in hot water, and you can't do it fast. You got to It's all in the rib. You got to do it slow, because you got to let it soak, don't you? You got to let the tea bag saturate. And then you just got in the water. You can see the water turn, can't you? And you know what it's doing? All it's doing is when you steep it, when you let it soak, it's extracting the flavor from the bag. It's extracting the color from the bag. Well, when you steep yourself in God's word, take your time. Let's steep in the morning, all right? Instead of rushing out doing your devotional in 30 seconds while you're brushing your teeth and eating a granola bar at the same time. And then you got makeup in between your toes. Wake up 5-10 minutes early. And do a little steeping. How do you do that? Go to bed 10 minutes early. Amen? Quit fighting sleep. I'm telling you, I'm such a better man since I quit fighting it. Just wake up a little early and steep in your Bible and your word. Let it soak. Take your time. Just extract. Let the word of God extract and come out and come into you. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to extract God's word from it. Take your time. I know some of you are hard-headed and you ain't going to change. You're going to say, I don't care what Jim says, I'm not getting up early. I'm getting up just enough time to go to work. Well, have a bad day, amen? Well, I'm just saying. Just go ahead on, be hard-headed. Have yourself a bad day, you know? Hey. Some of you said, you just told me to have a bad day. Sure did. Because what I'm telling you is you ought to memorize. If you can't memorize it, take it with you. David Holcomb takes an index card with him, with his verse on it. I'm going to take my, I started taking my devotion book, my Jesus calling book with me to work, because I forget it. I'm 55 now. I forget what I read that morning. Even if it is steeped, amen? It just seeped right out by about 11 or 12, and so I get it out again, and I read it again. Steep and seep. And so I get out and I read it again. But we got to memorize it, because we're going to find ourselves in tests and predicaments during the day that we need that word. Amen. It works every time. And I'm going to show you the clearest path of success in the Bible. Joshua 1:8 says this: study God's word continually. Meditate on it day and night so you may be sure to obey all that's written in it. If you do, you will be prosperous and what? Successful. Guys, it'll make you wise. Meditate. You know what meditate is? You know how to worry? Then you know how to meditate. Worry is just negative meditation where you think about something over and over. I'm just asking you to take the verse that you read in the morning and think about it over and over and over. Just take that verse, like I was saying about it. I take my whole devotion book with me, and when I forget about it, I take it out. And I think about it. You ever notice when you worry about something, what's it do? It swells up. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm going to tell you something. When you meditate on a verse and think about it, guess what? God's word gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Pretty soon you got a super word. All right. It's bigger. Hey, write this down. Fill in your blanks. I'm trying to get out of here. I must learn the truth in order to discern the lies. This is why it's important. I must learn the truth in order to discern the lies. Because you know what? Lies are all around you. And you got to learn the real thing so you can spot a lie. You got to learn what's true. You know what a Secret Service agent is? Well, one of their jobs is to spot counterfeit. Y'all know how they train them? They don't teach them counterfeit. They teach them the real thing. Y'all know that? They don't even look at counterfeit. You know why? Because there's thousands of people counterfeit stuff, thousands of different ways to counterfeit. They say you got to learn what's true before you can learn what's a lie. So they teach them what a real dollar bill looks like. I should say 100. I mean, who's going to counterfeit a dollar bill? I mean, those are some dumb counterfeiters, I'm telling you. But like a $100 bill. it'd be something from Rockmart counterfeit a dollar bill. I'm telling you. I can say that because I'm from Rockmart. Amen. If you're from Rockmart here, I didn't mean to offend you, but some of us ain't the brightest crayons in the box. Amen. But anyway, but that's how they train them. They got to know what's true before you know what's false. So you got to know what God's word is before you can know what a lie is. Parents, are you teaching your kids the truth? Or are you teaching them what the world is teaching? Psalm 119:104 says this: "Your commandments give me great understanding. It's no wonder I can see and hate every false way of life." You gotta know the truth. If you know the truth, you'll be able to spot a lie a mile away. Hey, students, I want to tell you something real quick. You want some insight? I'm gonna give you a verse that you can think about. Psalm 119:99 says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." You want more insight than your teachers? Testimonies from God's word. Meditate on them. You want to be smarter than your teachers? It's this right here. You want wisdom? It's going to come from here. Nowhere else. It's God's point of view. It's what wisdom is. I'm telling you. I love part of this test of Daniel because he's not afraid. He's not combative. He's not argumentative. Here's the key. You and me, if we want wisdom, we got to spend more time in God's word. But here's the thing about that. If we spend more time in God's word, we got to give up something. If we're going to spend more time in God's word, then we're going to have to spend less time on TV. If we're going to spend more time on God's word, then we're going to have to spend less time on a phone screen. If we're going to spend more time in God's word, we're going to have to spend less time on an iPad. If we're going to spend more time in God's word, we're going to have to get off Facebook so much and put our face in his book. Amen? Just a little more. Just a little more. Just a little more. You want wisdom? You want to succeed? That's where it's at. You got to decide today, before you go to work tomorrow, before you go to school, before you go to the university, who you going to stand for. You got to decide, will I be a chameleon? Will I act the way with who I'm with? All right? Be a man or a woman of character and integrity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us keep your faith in this test. Help us to stand firm. Lord, I pray that we can all pass this test. And I pray for success for all my people that you've given me. Help us to learn the truth so that we can spot the lies. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.